Good morning. Just such a joy to be with you again. Great to see friends who we were with together at the training event yesterday. I've been so looking forward to meeting the church. I bring greetings from Good News Church, and they said to please give you their love, and they think of you often. My wife Cynthia, she sends her love, she says hi, and we hope that it would be a real joy if she's able to come with me if Colin calls me next. But it'll be good to, I'd like her to come, because you are such a good church, and just being with you over this weekend is so refreshing, so refreshing. Let's just turn to God's Word. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 20. John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, and I'd like us to read from verse 19, the Gospel of John chapter 20, verse 19 onwards. Now, just to put the story very quickly in perspective, Jesus has just died, he has just been crucified, and his disciples who had been with him for 3 years, and they had such a wonderful 3 years with him, suddenly have to cope with the fact that Jesus is gone. He's suddenly not with them anymore. Now, it wasn't just that he was a great teacher. There was outstanding teaching when Jesus was there. But there was more than that. There was daily excitement. On a daily basis, they would say, Jesus, where are we going? Come, let's go and raise the dead. Jesus, what are we doing today? Let's go and feed 5,000 with 3 loaves and 5 fish. Jesus, what are we doing today? Today I'm doing a teaching seminar, an outstanding teaching. And so they had a great time with Jesus. And suddenly, a day comes when Jesus says, you know, it's my time, I've got to go. Now's the time that will round off, and it'll likely peak. The reason why I came here, that's going to be accomplished now. I came to do this. And he says, I'm going to die. And they're struggling. Peter says to him, no. What is this business of dying? No, you're not going to die. You've got to be with us, Jesus. You're not going to die. But he says, you know, if I don't die, then my mission is not accomplished. That's why I came. And he says, I'll send you another one just like me, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And all of that, actually, at that time, is not bringing great comfort to the disciples. And now, Jesus is dead. He is crucified. And the disciples, the Bible tells us, gather quietly in this room. So, that's where we pick this verse up. John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples are overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Let's just pray quickly, shall we? Father, we come to you in the great name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that this morning you will open up your word to us. You will help us to understand. Spirit of God, we pray you will be with me, be with my brothers and sisters. You are the author. Who else can interpret the writing except the author? So please open our hearts. Help us to understand, move upon our minds and our hearts, that we might obey you and serve you with great zeal all the days of our life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, my friends, this passage is so powerful because Jesus comes back to his disciples and he finds them in a state of fear and discouragement. If you look at verse 20, at verse 19, you will see that they've gathered together, but they've locked the door because they're afraid of the Jews. And so his disciples have come together, but they're in a place of discouragement. Jesus is gone, and what is more, they now have a number of enemies among the Jews. So they're afraid. They're afraid. They don't know what the future holds for them. They don't know what's going to happen from now on. They don't have much confidence about the future. They're living in fear. And so they've closed the door. They've locked it. And they're meeting for the time of prayer. And as I was reading this, I thought a good name for that fellowship would be Locked Door Fellowship. We could have called them, they could have called themselves Locked Door Fellowship. So it's a fellowship, they're good God-fearing people, they love Jesus, but they're afraid. They've got nothing to give the world. They're right now, they're thinking, can we just survive? Can we just manage? Can we just pull through a next month without getting beaten or without getting insulted, without losing out? And you see, my friends, sometimes we go through such times, and maybe this morning you've come to the Lord or you've come to this place in that situation. You're saying, you know, I've got a big problem on my hands. I've got a big need. I'm in a place of pain, maybe a place of hurt. My prayers are not answered, and I really can't see the Lord coming and answering my prayer right now. I'm feeling lonely. It's a bit like what the Jews were feeling. Maybe you've come here in that place. And you know the great thing about Jesus, no matter what might be the condition of your heart, Jesus comes to you and the first thing he gives you is his wonderful peace. And to these dear Christians in Locked Door Fellowship, he says to them, my peace I give to you. And you see, suddenly, when they were in this time of dejection and disappointment, Jesus walks through that locked door and comes to them and says to them, I give you my peace. And you see, my friends, perhaps you are in that state this morning. Maybe you're feeling, my situation is like a locked door. Can't get out, I can't get in. There seems to be no answers to my prayer. And this morning, I have good news for you. Jesus comes to you through that locked door. Through the locked door. And let me say this to you this morning. I just want to speak a word of faith to you. Locked doors are made by man, and Jesus has the capacity to walk through locked doors. That's our God. Amen. He walks through locked doors. And sometimes we can't see beyond the locked door. Perhaps you've got a locked door of a relationship that's going bad and you feel it's locked. How do I go through that one? Maybe it's a financial situation you're facing. Maybe it's a big decision you have to make. Maybe you have a problem with children or parents or job. Whatever it may be, you might think there's a locked door before you. I've got good news for you. Today, Jesus is here and he has walked through that locked door in your life. Amen? And here's the first thing he says. He doesn't say, there, let's hope for the best. That's what people say to us. You know, when people see our locked doors, they have good intentions and they say, there, don't cry. Something good will turn up. Don't worry. Let's hope for the best. And that's maybe the best advice people, well-meaning people might give you. But let me tell you, Jesus is different because Jesus has the capacity to change our situations. Amen? He is the Prince of Peace and he comes through that locked door and he says a powerful statement to them. And it's the same thing he's saying to us today. He says, peace be with you, my peace I give to you. You see, he knows how much we need his peace, and that's why he says it twice. The first time he says, peace be with you. And perhaps he then realizes that in the mind of these poor disciples, peace is what is sometimes comes to our mind. In our mind, peace is simply an absence of war. I was saying to some of my friends yesterday, sometimes when my children were small, I come home from work and they used to come clambering to me, "Daddy, I want this. Daddy, what about that? Daddy, what about this?" And I used to say, "Give me 10 minutes of peace, please. 10 minutes of peace for my coffee and a biscuit, and then I'll answer all your questions. I just want 10 minutes of peace." And all that I was asking was 10 minutes of absence of noise. But that's not the peace that Jesus gives. That kind of peace is a temporary peace. And the world offers it in many ways. I tell you, my friends, the peace that Jesus gives, he says, "The peace I give is not like the peace of the world. My peace is a permanent peace." Hallelujah. The peace that Jesus gives is true peace. It is the peace by which you are then connected permanently with God. And that's the actual meaning of the word peace in Greek, is the word Irene. It means permanently connected to God, so that every blessing that God has in store for you can flow down into your life. Amen. And I believe this morning, before we go, I'd like to pray for those who want to come to peace with Jesus. Often people say, "I'd like the peace of God. I want some peace from God." Do you know, the peace of God can only come if you are at first at peace with God. When you are at peace with God, when you've made your peace with God, then that opens a channel for the peace of God to flow into your life. And this morning, let me say this to you. If you want the peace of God, don't leave this hall, because Jesus has come here. And he wants to give you his peace before you leave. And it is a peace that changes your circumstances. It is a peace that lifts you up no matter what you are going through. Sometimes he will change your situation. Sometimes he will give you a great sense of victory even when you are in the difficult situation. Who can say amen to that? Amen. Sometimes he'll change it. Sometimes in the midst of it, you find yourself smiling and laughing because Jesus has come in and given you great joy in the midst of this situation. But here's really the burden of what I want to say to you. When Jesus comes and meets with us, he gives us his peace, and then he gives us his great commission. Look what he says to them. He says to them, "I give you my peace I give you." He shows them his hands, his side, and we'll look at why he says that. He fills their hearts with joy. Then again he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." My friends, I've got three things I'd like to say to you today from this passage. Number one, we are sent on the Father's mission. We are sent on the Father's mission. You want to repeat that with me? Let's just say, "I am sent on the Father's mission." Here's the second thing. We are sent with Jesus' authority. That's the second thing I'd like to say. We are sent with Jesus' authority. Shall we say that together? We are sent with Jesus' authority. And here's the third one. We are sent with the Spirit's enabling. Let's say it again. We are sent with the Spirit's enabling. Let's quickly look at the first one. We are sent on the Father's mission. Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you." As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus gives us his peace, he also gives us his commission. And he says to us, "This peace that you are receiving from me, take it out there, because there are a million people whose souls are longing for the same peace that you are enjoying today." Would you say amen to that? In fact, I can push it even further. I can say that every human being, every man, every woman, every child is made to feed on the peace of God. And until we find the peace of God, our hearts are restless. You see, that was my story. I was as a young man, I was a seeker. I was searching. I came from a Roman Catholic background, but I tried to look for peace in other religions. I read the Bhagavad Gita. I read other holy books. I tried to look for other deities, and I thought, who can actually meet this deep need inside my heart? And then one day, I met the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, Jesus satisfied the deep, deep need for peace in my heart. Do you know, Augustine used to put it like this. Augustine said, "You have made us for you, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Let me repeat that. "You have made us for you, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." Every man, every woman, every child is made with a capacity and a need to feed on the peace of Christ. And our souls are restless, brothers and sisters, until they find their rest in the relationship and receive the peace of Jesus. You see, this was the original mandate given by God to Adam and Eve. He put them in this beautiful place called the Garden of Eden, where there was provision, there was food, there was rest, there was joy, there were all good things. But he said to them, "Listen, taste, eat, see, this is my desire for people. And when you do it," Adam and Eve, "start moving outside the garden and take the garden out, outside where there's unruliness." And so there was this garden that he put them in, and he showed them, he says, "Now you stay in this garden, see what it's like, taste and eat and know of it, and take the goodness of the garden and extend that garden beyond its boundaries." That was the original mandate given to Adam and Eve. And I believe when Jesus came, he gives that mandate to you and to me. He says to us, "Come to church on Sunday. Enjoy his love. Enjoy his freedom. Enjoy his fellowship. And then Monday to Saturday, take what you have received on church at church on Sunday and feed other needy people outside there." That, brothers and sisters, is the Father's mission. That has always been God's mission. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to take us out of locked door fellowship and to become a people who are truly on the mission every day of our lives. Now, I want you to know, my friends, it's great to be in church, it's great to sing songs, but it would be tragic if we think this is the end. No, no, my friends, this is not the end. The Father's mission is that we take the good things that we receive on a Sunday morning and we distribute them out there where there is great need. Would someone say amen to that? Amen. Now, you know, there was a great man of God called John Wesley. Anybody heard of John Wesley? He was an Anglican preacher in the Anglican church. And he became born again. He started preaching the gospel in his Anglican church. And they told him, "Look, John Wesley, you can't do this. You're the priest. You just preach your little sermons, keep everybody happy, and that's enough. You know, don't bring this gospel and salvation and all of that." But John Wesley is born again. He's got to preach the gospel. The gospel has to go out. He began to keep preaching the gospel. Do you know what they did? They kicked him out. They kicked him out from the Anglican church. And do you know when they kicked him out? You know what John Wesley said? He said, "This is very good, because now the whole world has become my parish." He said, "This is good, because now the world has become my parish." And I tell you, John Wesley preached thousands of sermons in his lifetime. 40,000 sermons. He traveled over 250,000 miles on horseback in his lifetime, preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another bit of good news. He was slightly taller than me, that's all. Slightly taller than me. And this is all that he accomplished. I tell you, my friends, Jesus comes and says to us, "You are now like me on the Father's mission. You're on the Father's mission. Every man, every woman, every child who belongs to Jesus is on the Father's mission. And because it is the Father's mission, it cannot fail. It cannot fail. Yeah? I was telling the friends of the training yesterday that years ago I was in the UK, and when I was there, they said to me one evening, "Come, we'll show you some ancient ruins." And they took me to show me a little bit of old road, 2,000-year-old road. And I said, "What is this?" They said, "That's a piece of the great Roman Empire. They built this road. The Romans built this road." And I said to myself, "Really?" He said, "All that's left of the great Roman Empire? A little piece of broken road in an old little town in England?" And then I felt the Lord remind me of how the Father's mission was opposed by this great Roman Empire. They sought to kill the church and to wipe it off the face of the earth. Fast forward 2,000 years, all that's left of the Roman Empire, little piece of road. What's left of the Father's mission? Well, the church has gone into every nation on the planet. Even communist nations that have put out their hand to the church and said, "No, you can't come in." Underneath the hand, gospel has come in and the Bibles have come in. I know today China has one of the greatest churches in the world in terms of numbers. I tell you, my friends, you and I are on the Father's mission and it cannot fail. But secondly, here's the second thing. Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And here's the second thing. The second thing is that we are sent by the Son, accompanied by the Son, and by His authority. So it's not as though Jesus is sitting in heaven and saying to us, "Now you'll go and do your work and I'll look from heaven. I've got a safe place up there and from there I'm looking to see what you guys are doing. Are you all really doing it? And I'm not really bothered." It's a bit like how our generals are sometimes in our nations. They sit in these air-conditioned offices in New Delhi with their tables and their carpets. And they send the poor soldier on the front. They say, "You fight, and tell me how many people have died today. That's what I want. I want to know. Have 10 died? We'll send another 10. But we are sitting in Delhi. We've got no chances of dying." I tell you, our commander in chief is not like that. He comes with us in the battle. He comes with us in the battle. I want you to turn to people on either side of you and say to them, "Our commander-in-chief is with us." Will you go ahead and say that? Our commander-in-chief is with us. He is. Jesus is not sitting in some headquarters far away. No, my friends. He said, "I am with you." And there is nothing metaphorical about it. He really is with us. That's why he says, "When you walk through the valleys, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. You walk through the waters, you will not drown." Why? Because I am with you. You see, my friends, the great confidence of the Christian is this: the presence of Jesus is with me. When they looked at Peter preaching, they looked at the disciples preaching, they said, "These guys are fishermen. Who taught them all these things?" And you know what the conclusion was? Not that they had gone to Bible college, not that they had sat with Rabbi Hillel or Rabbi Gamaliel. This was their conclusion: they had been with Jesus. What they didn't see is that they are still with Jesus. Jesus is still with us in the battle. Amen. And so, my friends, as we go through life, as we try to build families in the way that God wants us to build, as we work at the adventure of raising children, sometimes happy, sometimes painful, sometimes challenging, as we try to work in our jobs, let me say this to you once again, those of you who have jobs in the world, every one of you are God's agent in that job wherever you are. Please don't think that one day you leave your job and become full-time and then you will serve the Lord. That is wrong thinking. God says you are serving the Lord in whatever you are doing today, Monday to Saturday. Amen. And Jesus is with you. We mustn't make the secular sacred divide and think Jesus is with us on Sunday morning, Monday to Saturday. I'm alone as I'm working out budgets and spreadsheets and software and getting things done. I'm alone. No, 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 my friends. Jesus is with you wherever you are. Who would say amen to that? Amen. He is with you, and you and I have to learn to develop a conscious presence of Jesus with his authority with us. Amen. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men, not full-timers, they were government servants. They were the equivalent of IAS officers today. They had to do something unrighteous. They said, we're not doing it. They said, you'll be thrown in the fire. They said, you know, God will come. Even if he doesn't come, no problem. We'll face whatever consequence you want, but listen, we're not going to do what you're telling us to do because it is unrighteous. Listen, God's agents in the marketplace. God's agents in the marketplace. Let me ask you, how many people actually have jobs in the marketplace today here? How many here? Just to do a quick count, how many have a job? Any kind of job. If you have a job in the marketplace, yeah, any kind of job. Well, I just want to say to you, you are so powerful. You are God's agent in that job wherever you are. Amen? You are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know their story. When they said no, they were thrown in the blazing fire. And the king looked at them, looking whether they'll get burnt. And suddenly they realize there's not just three of them, there's a fourth one. There's a fourth one. And he, even the king, though he was a pagan king, looks at them and says, hey, that fourth one, he looks like the son of the gods. He looks like the son of the gods. And then Shadrach, Meshach will probably tell him, he's not the son of the gods. He is the son of God. His name is Jesus. He was with us. He kept us from being burnt. Now I tell you this, some of you are in workplaces and you're thinking, will I get burnt there? Now I want to say to you this, develop a conscious understanding of the presence of Jesus with you. You may walk through the fire, but the Son of God is with you. And when you come out of that fire, you will come out and God will bring you to a place of great promotion, as he did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. There's promotion coming to you as you walk in the world with the authority of Jesus upon you. Would you say amen to that? Yeah? Amen? Now, this doesn't mean that there will not be the oven times. This doesn't mean that there will not be the times when we are thrown in the lion's den. Those times will come. And often, sometimes we preachers have been guilty of preaching a sugar-coated gospel. Sometimes we preachers say, come to Jesus, all your problem will be solved. You know, sometimes we preachers are guilty of that. I think we say it because we want to attract people and keep them in. We get scared that, you know, you preach the actual gospel, they'll run away. No, 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 listen, the actual gospel is far more better than a sugar-coated gospel. Who'll say amen to that? Because you see, it doesn't say that all will go well. It says when times become difficult, the Son of God himself will come and stand next to you at such times. He will walk through you as you go through the fire. Sometimes we will have to lay our lives down as we serve him. Don't be afraid of that. Nobody can even touch a hair on your head, the Bible puts, Jesus said to us. Even a hair on your head cannot be touched. Don't be afraid of those who can threaten to send your body into hell. They can't do much to you, says Jesus, because your soul is already belonging to the Lord. Amen. God is looking for the company of people who will stand up and serve him powerfully in our day and age, counting the cost. You know, there was in the old days when they had lighthouses, where they were filled with lamp with oil. No, you know what a lighthouse is? You all Pune people who don't have the sea, I need to explain this to you all. Come to Goa, we'll tell you where what the sea is. But you know, those of us who live on the coast will know, often there are rocks near the coast. And those rocks are very dangerous for seas, for ships. And in the old days, before there was radar, they had a lighthouse. And right up, there was a light near the rocks. And that light shone to warn the ships, don't come here, don't come here, there's rocks in this place. We still have lighthouses in Goa. A couple of them are still functioning. Well, in the old days, there was a storm one night near an island. And there was a ship that was heading towards the rocks. And the lighthouse keeper, he saw that ship coming towards the rock. And he said to his apprentice, he said, we've got to go out and light the light. We've got to set that, light the lamp so that ship is safe. And there was gale force storm there. And the young man said to him, he said, sir, if we go out, we might not come back. And the older lighthouse keeper put his hand on the man, the little young man's shoulder. And he said to him, son, we have to go. We don't have to come back. We have to go. We don't have to come back. And I tell you, Jesus said this. He says, I send you out like sheep among wolves sometimes. And sometimes you can go out in the world. Sometimes we can go into our offices and our boss looks like a wolf. Or people look like wolves. People are backbiting, gossiping. Somebody's trying to take your job. Jesus says, I send you out like sheep among wolves. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. We go out, brothers and sisters, knowing the authority of Jesus upon us. Very quickly, my third point. I said, thirdly, Jesus, verse 22, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, the work of Jesus is accomplished when we are empowered by the presence of Jesus with us, the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. He will come. And sometimes there are times when we feel afraid, we feel terrified. Can I tell my neighbor about Jesus? Should I pray for the sick? What if he doesn't get healed when I pray? Will that be embarrassing for me? How many people have ever felt like that? Come on, tell the truth and shame the devil. I felt like it. You know, you think, should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I do it? Should I not do it? What will happen? Listen, I've got good news for you. Jesus says, I am giving you my Holy Spirit. And when he comes upon you, greater things than these you will do. Because he will use you to accomplish my mission on earth. Amen. And so when we go out, brothers and sisters, we go on the Father's mission. We go with the authority and presence of Jesus, and we go empowered by the Holy Spirit upon us. Notice he says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. And I want you to know that the message that you and I have, that the Bible calls the gospel, the good news, is the best message and the greatest message the world ever needs. Because in Jesus, forgiveness for sins is available. I tell you this, if there was a supermarket in Pune that was selling forgiveness of sins, the rich people of Pune would have been standing in line at 3 a.m. for the doors to open up. It's not just the poor, the rich. Everybody knows that deep inside things are not okay. We need help from outside. Who would say amen to that? Everybody knows you can sleep in a luxury bed that is 3 feet high and you sink into it with 5 air conditioners blowing down upon you. But the problem is inside. And the heart is not at rest. And I need forgiveness deep inside there. I tell you, my friends, you and I have got a message that the world desperately needs. People need the message that you and I have. And that's why Jesus says, if you don't bring forgiveness to people, they won't be forgiven. You see, Jesus has decided not to preach the gospel through angels, not to preach the gospel himself. He has decided that people will hear about Jesus when you and I go and talk to them. Amen. Let me encourage you as I bring this brief message to an end. Take the good news of Jesus to everybody you meet. This is the great good news that the world is eagerly waiting for. If someone were to ask you, what is the biggest need in the world today? Some people might say, oh, the greatest need is to stop international strife. Some people might say, no, the greatest need is to alleviate poverty. Someone might say the greatest need, no, is to alleviate illiteracy. Illiteracy is the problem. People are acting bad because they don't have education. D.L. Moody used to put it like this. He said, you see a man stealing nuts and bolts from a railway track. And he's doing that because he's hungry, he can't work, he's stealing those bolts to sell them. And you think, the man is uneducated. Let's send him to Harvard Business School. I tell you what, he says, you'll send that man to Harvard Business School, he'll come back, and this time he's so intelligent, he'll steal the whole track. Education doesn't solve the problems of man. The gospel solves the problems of man. And out of the gospel, education will come. Out of the gospel, poverty will be alleviated. Out of the gospel, international strife will be reduced. Amen. This morning, before I end, I'd like to very quickly... Colin, we have a couple of minutes to pray, yeah? Okay. I'd like to pray for two kinds of people. I'd like to give two kinds of responses. This morning, if like the disciples, you're behind a locked door, and I believe this morning Jesus wants to walk through that locked door into your situation and fill your heart with peace like you've never known before. And if you'd like to receive that, if you're feeling I'm behind a locked door today, I really need to encounter Jesus. I believe Jesus is here. And if you're in that place, would you like to just respond in some way? If you'd like, you can stand. Just stand so that Jesus sees you. It's just simply a way of saying, Lord, here I am. I need you to come into my situation. If you are in that situation, just stand. And I want you to just raise your hands to the Lord, because you're coming to Him, and He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Fountain of Peace. He is the Originator of Peace, and He wants to come through that locked door in your life. You don't even have to tell Him what it is. He already knows. But if you want to just quietly invite Him in through your locked door, go ahead and do that. Will you do that? Say, Jesus, I invite you. Come in, Jesus. I invite you into this situation. Come through this locked door in my life. Come through this locked door. I want to give you authority. I want to give you a place into this situation that I am facing. I've been trying to handle it by myself. I'm lonely. I need you to come in. Just start talking to Jesus. Just whisper to Him. That's fine. Don't have to say it loud. Just whisper. Just do business with Jesus. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful for your presence here. Thank you, Lord, that we can feel the tangible presence of Jesus. You are here. And I want to invite you to come through the locked doors into our lives, into the lives of these precious brothers and sisters. I want to ask you, Lord God, that you'll dismantle that locked door. Come into the situation and do what only you can do. I want to ask you, Lord God, where there is estrangement and animosity, you'll take it away and bring your everlasting peace, a peace that the world cannot give and a peace that the world cannot take away. Bring your peace. In Jesus' name, I speak the peace of Christ upon every situation here. Everyone, oh God, as we raise our hands towards you, come into these situations and release your permanent peace upon us. I pray for a removal of difficult decisions. I pray for a removal of frustrating situations. I pray for a removal of ongoing battles with health. And I ask that you will come, Prince of Peace. Bring your great peace into that situation. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I'd really like now to pray for all those who want to say, yes, I'm sent by the Lord. Okay? Yes, Lord, send me. Send me. So, if you've heard the word today, then in one sense you don't have a choice. We're all sent. We're all sent. For the Christian to say, I'm not sent, is a very strange thing. You can't have a non-sent Christian. All Christians are sent. Amen? That's part of who we are when we become God's representatives on earth. And I do want to pray for you, whether you're standing or sitting. I want to pray that God will be upon you. Father, I pray, God, that you will so use us. I pray we will have such a conviction that the Father's mission will not fail. One day, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. I thank you, Jesus' authority is with us. It will not fail. When your brothers and my brothers and sisters speak your word to somebody, Lord God, or share a verse with somebody, bring sometimes even a plain encouragement to somebody. Sometimes share the gospel. Sometimes pray for the sick. I pray, God, your authority will be with them. We thank you. It's not a matter of raising voices. It's a matter of knowing that I'm speaking the word of God. And God's word is like a double-edged sword into this situation. Now I want to pray, God, for such an anointing of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. Come, Spirit of God, anoint us as we return to real life this evening and beyond. As we return to real life, I pray, God, that your anointing will be upon us, Lord God. May our words be your words. May our hands be your hands. May our feet be your feet, Lord God. Take us that we might accomplish your purposes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.